Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, star seeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi, my friends. Welcome to the 200th episode of Third Eye Awakening. Wow. Oh, the me in 2019 that started this never would have guessed that we would have made it to episode 200 and still going strong. And also back in like September or something like that, we crossed 1 million plays. The podcast has been played over a million times now. I was just balls deep in that Akashic flash sale. I was just doing like so many readings a day that I could not put out a special episode. I couldn't record a special episode to, celebrate that. So we're kind of celebrating these two together, but 200 episodes, a million plays. We did this, friends, me and you, we did this because I can make the episode, but I can't play it a million times, so fucking yes. Yes to us. Oh my God. Okay, well, clearly you're getting a solo ramble in honor of this podcast, but I'm so excited to be spending the next hour-ish with you, and I'm so grateful that you are along this ride with me. So this episode is dedicated to Killian, Francis, and John Frusciante. Killian, because he is, it's like, do you know what? Honestly, this podcast and this business is the thing that I pour all of the mothering that I would give to Killian into. It's, he is the little one that sparked the whole thing, the whole entire thing. But also my son, Francis, my firstborn, he's so, I gave birth to an ascended master. That does not mean I am an ascended master, but my oldest son is legitimately an ascended master, and I have the incredible honor of being his mother, and I don't think I could ever, ever do justice in words to the amount of learning and growth that has come for me and spiritual activation just through my proximity to Francis, my oldest son. And then, of course, John Frusciante, he is my, like, he's my lighthouse. I don't know. This episode is kind of going to be an ode to John in a way. If anybody who is listening to this episode knows John Frusciante or knows somebody who knows John Frusciante, I would love it if you would share this with him. I don't know if I'll ever get to meet him in this life, but I would love for him to know that he has saved my life and his existence is radiating out into the world through me to a whole other audience that he wouldn't otherwise necessarily reach, but it's his light that's shining through me. Okay, so the reason that this is an ode to John is because in so many ways, he is also the reason that I started this podcast. Back in my 20s, when I was going through over a decade-long spiritual awakening and just really fucking feeling like life was very, very, very heavy and hard, his music really was the thing that let me know that I needed to keep going and I was going to be okay. Back then I felt like I was being like crushed and suffocated by the density of this world, even though I knew then, I definitely know now, but I knew then that I had the incredible blessing and gift of being physically safe most of the time. I've had my run-ins with not being safe, but for the most part, what I'm saying is like my survival wasn't, My survival wasn't being threatened on a daily basis. I was safe in a human body for the most part, and that was a humongous, humongous blessing and gift. But I still felt like I was being crushed and suffocated by the density here on Earth. It just felt so hard to my spirit, so hard. And I was just wandering through life, having no idea what to do with myself, no idea even what the fuck I was doing here. A driving sense that there was some reason, but I didn't know what it was. And I was shifting through time and timelines in ways that felt weird and disjointed, but also I was feeling like almost nobody else around me seemed to be having this experience themselves, other than my very mentally unstable and unwell friends at the time, who also happened to be psychic starseeds, but they weren't doing well. I wasn't doing well. It was very weird to walk through time and timelines in just, I don't know, to sort of like tap into a different timeline, but not realize that's what I was doing, but be seeing like different versions of realities that are legitimate and are real. I didn't know that's what I was doing. It was just such a weird fucking, oh, my 20s were rough. Anyways, and I'll say most of that was off drugs. Like there were large chunks of time that I was neither on like street drugs or pharmaceuticals. It was just the spiritual awakening. Anyways, his music and his lyrics really saved me like a lighthouse, because it was like the way that he would talk about time, the way that he would talk about reality, I felt like, oh my God, he's from the same place I am. He speaks my language. And that was enough. Like first of all, his lyrics are so full of coded activations, at least for me. I mean, I don't know if everybody listening would find them, but for me, they're so full of coded activations. But it's not like he's really saying something that, you know, I can latch on to. It was more like he just gets it. Like he's moving through reality in the same way that I am. And that was so fucking comforting. And the reason that I say all this is because my own soul mission was really activated through that, through feeling the profound impact that he had on me. I was in time able to remember that, like, really what I'm here to do, really. Like when you strip it all away, like you can strip away the podcast, you can strip away the business, you can strip away even the Akashic Records. Really what I'm here to do and what I've always been here to do and I always have been doing, but I was definitely muffled about it back then, is delivering activation codes about our psychic abilities and the true nature of reality. That's just what I do. That is my soul mission. That is my soul blueprint. I can't not do it. I deliver activation codes about our psychic abilities and the true nature of reality. It's literally all I think about is the whole lens through which I see everything. And it is like, these codes are just coming through me all the time. But back then I didn't realize, I didn't even use this kind of language. So I had no framework to even understand this at all. I was still trying to equate like my soul purpose with making money, which for obvious reasons, that's why so many of us do. But he did activate that soul mission, because eventually by the time I got around to creating the podcast, which was very like, I don't know, 10 years later, maybe? Yes, roughly 10 to 14 years later. The reason that I started this podcast, the whole reason, scared little Amy, working her midwife job. Ugh. Yeah, just on, I was on like the right path, but the wrong path. It was still leading me to this path, but it was, I could feel it wasn't the direction to keep moving in. Anyway, little shy, skinny little Amy decided to create a podcast, because by then I knew that I was not the only one out there, that there were a lot of us experiencing a spiritual awakening. And I felt like the time had come for this to not be a closeted thing anymore. And like, I know I'm not the only one doing this. There are lots of people that are doing this, but that's how it felt to me at the time. I just felt like, Jesus Christ, I felt so lonely for so long. I have muffled myself and what I actually am here to say for so long, because I'm so like, I feel so alienated and so lonely and strange in this perspective that I have, this spiritually awakening perspective. But I know there are other people out there, and I know they probably fucking feel lonely too. And there's just no reason for that anymore. Podcasts are a thing. Like, we can connect with each other. So that's really why I created this. And I kind of knew that I was a channel at the time, but I hadn't started channeling. The podcast was the first open channel that I've ever done. I knew that I was a channel because I could feel the things coming through me, but I had never actually done it before. And that's what Third Eye Awakening is. So it kind of like activated my channel, but it also connected me with all of you, which feels like such a rich and abundant gift. I don't even know how to adequately convey it to you, what it means to me to be in connection with all of you. Some of you I've spoken with, some of you I've had brief social media interactions with, some of you I don't know at all. Like, you know, we haven't necessarily connected beyond the podcast, but I feel you. I feel you, and I'm really talking to you when I talk. What this mission is really all about to me is connecting us all eventually in the telepathic network, but we're not there yet. As much as I wish we were, we're just not there, and that's okay. But what I really understand about all of us is that we do create a telepathic network. We're all already connected astrally, and we're just bringing that down into the consciousness of our human forms here on Earth. We are sort of like creating a beautiful... Okay, I'm going to back up and try and approach this at a different angle. I don't know how many of you are familiar with grid work. It's pretty cool. There's all these like ley lines and stuff running through the earth. Those are the natural energy channels of the earth. It's just the direction that energy moves. They've been verified scientifically. So they're not just a woo-woo thing. They are these channels of energy running along the earth. Anyway, so there are all these ley lines, and they intersect, and they create sort of their own natural gridwork pattern. And then there are these other like geometric gridwork patterns that are overlaid on top. There has been the false matrix network for a really long time, but that's degrading so much that it's almost non-existent. I know, depends on how you're looking at it. It can look like it's like fucking in full force, but it is not in full force. This is sort of a last hurrah in an effort to scare us back into the old ways. Actually, I was talking to somebody earlier today who will be on the podcast in a little bit, and he was calling them like the creational forces are the alpha forces, and the destruction or like dark forces are the omega forces, and they work together. And I was like, oh, that is the best way I have ever heard anybody frame it, the best way ever. So this is a true Amy ramble. Just deal with it. It's like we're sitting together and hanging out in my office. I don't know where you're sitting. There's only one chair in here. But this is the kind of conversation we're having right now. Try and keep up. Okay. So there are the ley lines, and they are forming a natural, organic gridwork pattern around the earth. Then there is an overlay of the false matrix gridwork pattern. And that is held in place by certain monuments, certain locations where great devastations have been planned and great like collective human sacrifices have happened. You know, like they build around these points that either are naturally existing, but just as often are sort of falsely created. You know, like, I don't know, big sites like, for example, Ground Zero of 9/11. That's a huge grid point in the False Matrix grid network. Okay, so it's things like that, ancient, modern, all of it. Plus their awareness of certain stargates. And then there's another gridwork pattern overlaid on top of that. And that's the elevated consciousness or New Earth template, or I call it Tara, template of like what Earth is becoming. The reason I'm talking about all of this is because we are a layer of the New Earth grid ourselves. And we are this moving component, okay? Because we're not sites on the Earth, but we are like little lightning rods, little acupuncture needles in the body of the Earth, all of the energy and physical bodies of the Earth. And we are drawing down light and bringing it here through our willingness to be ever more open to expanding consciousness. And the light that is coming down vertically through us as lightning rods, like our whole entire body is a channel from crown down to the root, down to the feet, into the earth. Like our chakra line goes way beyond the top of our head and the like the sit bones of our butt where the root chakra is. So it comes down vertically, but then we all radiate it horizontally to each other through the three telepathic layers of our bodies, which is our sacral chakra, our heart chakra, and our third eye chakra. So we are like telepathically communicating at the third eye level, which is the mental telepathy. It can include words, it can include visual things, stuff like that. Like just, it's like being connected at the mind level, essentially. But we're also connected horizontally at the level of the heart. So we feel each other. Like we really feel each other. Like you are real. I feel your feelings. I'm here with you. I see you. I've got you. Like that kind of thing. That's how we're actually connected. And then we're also connected more on the physical, but like intimately bonded relational level. At the sacral chakra. So what I mean by that is like it can be romantic relationships, but it can also be intimately bonded friendships, family relationships, like anything, you know, like I'm intimately bonded with a lot of people and I don't even know how I would define our relationship, but it's that kind of thing. So we're connected telepathically to a more selective group through our sacral chakra. So the reason I'm saying all this, the reason that I got onto this whole topic is because I'm so honored to be connected with all of you. And we are establishing the telepathic network and we're doing it like, you know, every channel through which we're connected, like every podcast, every YouTube, whatever, like whatever communities you belong to and participate in, we are sort of linking up the chain, we're lighting up the grid. We're lighting it up together. And it's a grid of ascending consciousness, but at the human level. It's just very cool. It's very cool. I've always been a big picture person. I can always pan out really, really, really far and see things like from like a super high cosmic eye view. And I see the effect that we're having on Earth. And I'm just so happy about it. And God, like when I think back to how lonely I was, oh, so lonely. I used to feel so muffled and so, I don't know, like I want to say closeted, and that is kind of what it was, but it's like I was never really showing my real self to anybody because I didn't feel like they were receptive. I didn't feel like, I don't know. It felt threatening to show my real self for whatever reason. I don't know if they were real threats or if it was imagined based on like past life memories and collective Akashic trauma imprints and things like that. But I just remember like I was so rarely actually speaking candidly to anyone, specifically around my spiritual beliefs and the way that I perceive reality. And there was so much that I was holding back all the time. And it was exhausting. I didn't realize how exhausting it was. It just hurt in my heart. And it also caused me so much anxiety. I've got to say, if you're somebody that experiences a lot of anxiety in your chest, it felt like it was around my heart, but it was also above my heart. That could be the things that are in your heart that you are not letting yourself speak. So it's a little bit different from just straight throat chakra trauma, which feels more about like not being able to speak at all, or having your throat crushed, or being punished for speaking your truth, or just speaking, period. This particular form of anxiety that I had, that I didn't understand at the time, it felt like there was so much pressure building up inside of my chest, sort of just above my heart, that I would get these mental images of just smashing into my own chest with an axe and feeling like that would be the greatest relief, but not because I'd die, but because it vents out that pressure. So it wasn't, they weren't suicidal ideations. It was just like, oh my God, just crack this open and vent the pressure. But what I didn't realize was that the pressure could just vent through my throat. That's where it's supposed to vent out of. And so when I created the podcast, that's what happened. It's like, I just gave myself a place to speak and really didn't know who was going to listen to it. If anyone, I had no intentions for this podcast. I just knew I wanted to start it. And the name Third Eye Awakening came through to me. Like, that was definitely a psychic or intuitive bit of guidance. I don't know who it came from. It probably just came from my higher self, but it was very, very like, no, this has to be called Third Eye Awakening. There's literally no other name for it, which it has been very beneficial. It wasn't strategic at all because I didn't think strategically in any way at that time, but it has been very beneficial to have that name because so many of you are going through an awakening. And, you know, so you're either looking for understanding why your third eye is opening or wanting to open your third eye, or you're looking up spiritual awakening. So it's been great. But I created this podcast because I just didn't want to feel lonely anymore. I just knew I wasn't alone and I just wanted to connect with you. And I wanted to finally let the words come out of the things that I held inside of myself that I wanted to say. And those things are only like, it's so funny. It's not like some horrible, horrible truth that I'm ashamed of. It's just, I just want to talk about reality and not have people look at me like I'm insane or I'm weird. That's the worst one. It's not so much that I'm insane. That one, I know I'm not insane, so it's fine. I just remember the pain of having people that I love look at me like in a way that is like half mocking, half ridiculing. No, one third mocking, one third ridiculing, one third dismissal, you know? For whatever reason, that's what hurt me the most. I don't know why. I just feel like what a crybaby I was. Like life is so much worse and so much harder than that. But it was really, really hard. It was just not a good feeling. And I know a lot of you feel it too because, you know, I read a lot of your messages. And a lot of the time people are just writing me to say thank you for the podcast, or they're writing in Soul Space to say, you know, that they don't have any community to talk to and things like that. And like, I feel you, but you do. That's also why I created Soul Space, literally, is because it's just like, why not? Why not create a community? Like, why not all get together and just have a safe place to talk where, you know, somebody isn't going to look at you like that and you can just share your things. But I know a lot of you do feel similar ways. Spiritual awakening is fucking hard, isn't it? It is so hard. Duh. It's so hard. Because you get so many of your beliefs get really shaken. Your beliefs and your perspectives, and that puts you at odds with the other people in your life. it makes it hard to talk to them because you're just all of a sudden like super aware of something and they're not aware of it, or they don't care. They're not interested in hearing about it. And it just puts you on a very alienating level. And then all the time you gaslight yourself and feel crazy. Plus, spiritual awakening is not always, I would say spiritual awakening and a dark night of the soul do not always go hand in hand. They can exist independent of each other, but they often work in tandem. Like, a lot of the time, spiritual awakening happens through a dark night of the soul, or a dark night of the soul leads us to spiritual awakening. So there's that whole part. There's that whole part of navigating through the pitch black darkness and wondering if you will ever come out again. Whew. Which, P.S., I have this program, Magic in the Dark, and I do not talk about it as much. And I get so many amazing testimonials from it. Like, people genuinely just messaging me and just being like, wow. I don't talk about it enough because I assume that people don't want it, because I feel like people don't want to do the dark things. But it is about navigating your dark night of the soul. And it's everything that I learned leading up to losing Killian, and as well as through the process of losing Killian, without it talking about him. So you don't have to worry about being heavily triggered by that story in it, but it's like, you know, sometimes you need a fucking guidebook to get through a dark night of the soul, and it's a guidebook to get through a dark night of the soul. But that being said, spiritual awakening is just, it's hard, but it's so cool at the same time, because A, it never ends. Here I am years later feeling way more grounded and centered within it, but also just very like, there is no end in sight to the learning and the expansion. And it just, to me, that's a total benefit. It's a total win. But it's like, for all of the darkness and the alienation and the loneliness and the fear that comes up in a spiritual awakening and dark night of the soul, there is also so much magic. So much magic. Like, oh my God, crystals and auras and developing your intuition and your spirit guides and oracle cards and tarot cards, sacred geometry, pendulums, channeling, star seeds, the Akashic Records. I'm trying to remember what else. Reiki, EFT. Oh, these were all the really good things at the beginning of my, well, it wasn't the beginning of my spiritual awakening. It was the beginning of when I accepted my spiritual awakening and stopped fucking fighting it. But psychic development, past lives. Oh my God. Yeah. There's so much, right? There's so much when you open up to your spiritual awakening experience. There's so many things that are exciting and so many things that are scary. It's nuts. For all of you who are going through it right now, like acutely, like you're in it, I love you. I feel you. I'll give you my little, you know, word of advice that I would give to my past self. If I could go back to Amy in her 20s, I would insist that she develop a grounding practice. Like, I would insist. I would be the hard-ass parent that my parents weren't. And I would be like, bitch, you are doing this thing every day and I don't care. Cry. Go for it. Like, kick and scream and whine. I am unmoved. You're doing it. You're doing this grounding thing. Because I had no consistency and discipline. And those are so important for grounding. And they're so important if you want to make any forward progress. It's kind of like I was floating. You know what I mean? Like, you need to have something to push against in order to move forward in a way that is satisfying in this reality. So I wasn't, I, yeah, my feet were on the ground, whatever. My body is walking, but more accurately speaking, it's like I wasn't actually connecting to the earth. So even though my body was taking steps, I was floating sort of above my body, like 4 inches above my body. I think that's actually what's happening for a lot of us. And this is why for some of us, astral projection is probably not what we need. I used to want to astral project so badly, like obsessively, and partly because I wasn't disciplined enough. That's definitely why I didn't make progress with it. But also, like, it just never happened when I was awake, except for 2 times, and they were so brief because something in me freaked out, and like I was instantly snapped back into my body. But I feel now like I don't care. I know I astral travel a lot at night, and I don't even need to remember, to be honest. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. It doesn't matter. The thing that I really needed was to ground down. So to pull my astral body into my human body and be in my human body and be on earth, which is why going back in time, I would tell myself to develop a grounding practice and I would hold myself to it. Like a hard ass, I would hold myself to it. So that is a primary piece of advice I have for you if you are going through a spiritual awakening, is to ground yourself in some practice, just something that you do every day. Constructive, not drugs, like something grounding, could be breath work, could be Qigong, yoga, going for a walk, could be a prayer. It could be like, it's just some kind of practice that you do every single day. Could be meditation, the big meditation. Oh God, but I can't meditate, Amy. I know, but you can. Do you know what? I'll tell you this. I don't meditate regularly. I know I've said that a lot of times, but I think about it a lot because I know it's a barrier for so many people. And sometimes it can feel like a barrier to me, but the truth is it's not a fucking barrier at all. For everything I just said about discipline, and I did need a grounding practice, there's also so much that happens just in your pure, real intention. So what I mean is that there were periods of time where I did meditate regularly, and it was deeply anchoring and I loved it. And that is what created the neural pathway that now allows me to connect in to meditation with great ease, pretty much anytime. Not always. Sometimes I'm like just, whatever, caught up in the humaning. But if I get an actual real quiet moment, I don't need very long to actually connect and meditate and feel like I really got there, like I really received something. It's one of the reasons that I can randomly receive Akashic guidance for people without even trying to tune in. It's like if I get, 5 minutes of quiet time, my brain pretty much just automatically goes there. And that part is not as a result of having a grounding practice. That part is that I did entertain a grounding practice of meditating during certain periods of my life. So I created the neural pathway first. But then what happened is I just have such an intention that this is what I do now. So it is what it is. That's true. So what that means on a like practical day-to-day level is that, I'm crazy busy. I would not say that time management does not come naturally to me. Existing in linear time does not come naturally to me. So, but I have 2 little children and I have a business. And I'll tell you what, when you have a business, like your shit has got to get done. There's no, it's not just handing in a paper late in school. It's like, this has to get done. Otherwise you don't receive any money and you have to go get a job. And so you stop doing all this. That's so basically what I'm saying is I'm super busy, super busy. I have a million things on my to-do list all the time, every day, all the time. There will repeatedly be things on my to-do list that just don't ever get finished and they don't make it to the next iteration of the to-do list. So I have so many things that could be calling and nagging on my energy and holding me away from meditation, but I refuse to let them. I will not compromise this connection to the Akashic field, to spirit, to my higher self, to the cosmos. Like, I won't compromise this connection, and I don't give a fuck. I don't care how busy I am. This is who I am, and this is what I do. And so I've, you know, basically rearranged and curated my life bit by bit in support of that, which is why I have this business, because it only makes sense. Like, if I'm going to literally devote my life to fostering this connection to spirit, which is what I just said, and that is what I have decided, and that's what I do, then I'm going to have to figure out a way to make money to support that, which is this business. And I'm going to have to figure out a way to keep my sort of like, keep my blade sharp, I suppose, you know, like to sharpen the tool of my skill. Then that means that I need to do, like, I need to podcast, I need to create content, I need to write emails, I need to record energy reports, I need to create courses, I need to create programs, I need to do readings, I need to do mentorship. Like, all of these things are part of me choosing this path, but I didn't choose them all at once and be like, oh, okay, everything's built, here I go. What I did was I chose it little by little in the ways that I could at any, like in any given moment. So in 2019, that meant while I was working 80-hour weeks on average as a midwife, it was very, very exhausting and processing like a ton of grief. I started the podcast, and that was like my little step in the direction of the life I knew I wanted to create for myself. One that prioritizes my connection to all the things, God, spirit, cosmos, Akashic Records, Killian, all the things. So I did that, and I started doing a very small number of readings, paid readings. By then I'd practiced for a few years just for free, and this was the first time I started doing paid readings. But I was still working as a midwife, so I did very, very few of them. And I wasn't consistent with the podcast because I was doing it all myself. But I started and I kept going. And then what it looked like was the next year when I stopped working as a midwife in 2020 and I went all in, it meant coming up against my fears and coming up against my limitations and trying to figure out some kind of strategy, trying to figure out some kind of plan, and doing Akashic readings and creating my first program and like just choosing this path. And then, you know, from there, it has just been more and more and more of that, to the point where now this is just who I am and this is just what I do. So even when I am like washing the dishes or making dinner for my kids or getting ready for bed at the end of the night or whatever, like all the time, I'm kind of contemplating all these things gently in the background and allowing my consciousness to expand and grow in that direction all the time. So that my frequency is such a, it's such a match to those wavelengths, I guess, that when I go to meditate, even if it's been weeks and weeks and weeks since I last meditated, I can drop in very, very easily because like there, I know I'm contradicting myself. It's like you have to create a grounded practice at some point. If you don't already have one, some of you already have one, but if you don't already have one, you're going through a spiritual awakening, create a grounded practice. And then though, also don't get obsessed with the practice and like maintain consistency for the purposes of being able to measure your own growth and for the purposes of grounding and like being here on earth. You will feel so much better if you just let yourself be here on earth. Even if you feel like earth sucks, it doesn't. a lot of things about it suck, but it doesn't suck. And also you will still feel better because you're in a body and you are on Earth. So just be on Earth. You'll feel better. So create the grounding practice, but then don't become obsessed with it either. Like, don't cling to it, you know, and just trust that if this is who you are, this is what you choose for yourself. This is who you choose to be. You will be guided to grow in this direction incrementally through your everyday life, moment to moment. And eventually, you know, like in 5 years, in 10 years, whatever, which will go by in the blink of a freaking eye, might I remind you, just in case you feel like that is like way too long to wait. In 5 years or 10 years or whatever, you'll look back and you'll realize, oh my God, I created the life that I want, or I created the life that matches me. I have cultivated a connection to spirit, my spirit guides, the Akashic records, my psychic gifts, the higher consciousness, like whatever is meaningful to you, you know, God, creator, the universe, whatever it is that draws you up and higher, you'll look back and be like, wow, I created incrementally such an established connection to that, that I don't even really have to try anymore. That's just what happens. So yeah, spiritual awakening. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm really interested to hear how it feels for all of you right now. It, for me, I mean, when I was spiritually awakening, it was such a, well, it was just so different. It was such a different time. Like, because there are different types of awakening too, right? There's like conspiracy / truth awakening. There's like micro awakenings within certain systems, but you don't necessarily extend it to like all the systems. And at the time in the 2000s, like the first decade of the 2000s, which was when I was experiencing my awakening, I would say like most people were asleep. And in a way, it was kind of nice. Like, for everything I'm saying about feeling lonely, it was also, I don't know, anybody who remembers the 90s and 2000s, like, with fondness from your teenagehood or your 20s or your 30s or something like that, any age, you know what I mean? Like, there was just, what a time when you could just watch TV and not dissect the lies in all of it. You know, you could just binge a fucking show. You could just watch Friends or Dawson's Creek. I actually watched all of Dawson's Creek, you guys, all of it, every single episode. I don't feel proud of that, but I trust you enough to admit it to you. But yeah, I'm interested to hear about what it feels like to spiritually awaken right now, because the difference that I see is, like, obviously more people are awake, but the cool thing about more people being awake is that the collective consciousness is much, it's different. It feels different. It definitely feels very dense here, but it's, there is a lightness to it as well that didn't used to be here before. And like our psychic abilities are so much closer to the surface. It's wild. It's so delightful. Like, you know, a lot of people are having glitchy experiences in time. It's kind of like, yeah, it really is like we're waking up within the dream. We're waking up within the dream. And so the texture and the quality of the dream, the, like, in the 90s, it felt kind of grainy. That's what the dream felt like to me. That's what reality felt like, was grainy. I wouldn't have described it that way at that time, but now I describe it that way. Whereas now the texture of reality feels really thin and sort of watery and light, like it, like light as in lightweight, but also light as in the element of light. And so it must be such a trippy time to wake up. within the dream to, like, I guess when I woke up, it was sort of like looking around and being like, whoa, what is wrong with me? I think everybody else is asleep, but I didn't know I was awake, you know? That's what made it shitty. I just thought there was something wrong with me. Whereas I imagine right now, if you're waking up right now, you're like, oh, I'm awake and a bunch of other people are awake and holy fuck, this is intense. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it still totally feels like you're looking around and wondering, what the hell? Like, is everybody asleep? I don't know. Sometimes I forget, honestly, because I have created such a beautiful community of people to speak to. And then I will go somewhere that's like out of my element, like go be with people that I'm not usually with. And I'm like, oh yeah, wow, okay, all right. This is people right now, okay. But still, even if lots of people are still asleep, there are still so many people who are awake and at various stages of awake. You guys, I am really excited about the Spirit Guides Masterclass. There are so many people signed up. I am so thrilled. I can't wait to talk about all this stuff with you. And, you know, as usual, like, I'm going to bring a pretty fresh take because I have been pondering this stuff for a very long time. And yeah, I feel like there's so much richness and benefit to connecting with our spirit guides, and there's so much good information out there, and there's so much sort of like bullshit fluff out there. And as always, like, my objective is actually truly to get you results, to really try my best to communicate with you how to connect with your spirit guides. I will give you some sort of process and exercises, but there, I feel like so much of it is in clearing up misunderstandings that we have that are getting in the way of us actually receiving and interpreting the messages that we're already getting all the time, you know? So I'm very, very excited to share that information with you. And I'm also very excited to just connect us with our, like, it's like another avenue of connecting us with our psychic abilities. This year, I really, really owned, which you probably gathered if you listened to the last episode, because I've talked your ear off for like half an hour about the things that I want to create, the things that I'm creating in my business as offerings for people to join. But regardless, I really owned that what lights me up so much, and I could literally talk about for ages, is our psychic abilities. I love it. I love it so much. I love our psychic abilities so much. It's just the funnest thing to explore and activate and talk about. And I think the thing that I really, really love about it is being able to, similarly to what I'm saying about spirit guides, talk about it in a way that is different from what we typically hear and really dispels, exactly what I'm saying about spirit guides, dispels the misunderstandings we have about it. I just did a reading earlier this week for somebody who honestly was one of the most psychically open people I have ever done a reading for. There are a small number of people I've done reading for is that I'm like, you're so psychically activated. I'm kind of mind blown by it. And he genuinely didn't fully know. Like, he knew he had had some cool experiences, but he is just at the point where he's kind of owning and embracing that he is this psychic and he is this open, and he's doing a ton of like psychic reading and energy work already without realizing that that's what he's doing just in his everyday life. And my favorite thing is to see that and reflect it back to you so that you can be like, whoa, you're right. I am psychic. I am already doing this. This is already open. Okay, how do I notice it more? How do I grow it? Ooh, I don't want that energy coming in. How do I filter that energy out? How do I strengthen my filter? How do I strengthen my shield. I don't know. I have like the word shield. It's a challenging word. It's sometimes the right word, sometimes not the right word. It's a little bit too fear-based sometimes. But filter is a good one. We always want to have a filter up. Always, always, always. So how do we adjust our filter? What even the fuck is psychic information? I could talk about that for an eternity. In a nutshell, psychic information is just a very, very fine grain of information that is already surrounding us. We live in a soup of information. We're just bathing constantly in a soup of information. Quantum information, Akashic information, physical information, astral information, like information at all levels. So much information. It's already surrounding us. All we have to do is adjust the filtration mechanism of our being, of our consciousness, to allow more of that to reach our awareness. Hopefully that makes sense the way that I said it. Sometimes I wish that I had, like, this is my dream for Midjourney. I'm not even close to being there. I almost feel like I have too much to do to watch Midjourney tutorials, but I wish I could just like pair Midjourney with my podcast, and that in real time, the way that, you know, I can use a different piece of software to generate like AI notes from my podcast. I wish that Midjourney would just create visuals for everything that I'm saying so that you can really see what I'm talking about. Honest to God, the worst part of my job is that I can only convey verbally 10% of what I see. That means I'm leaving 90% of everything that I wish I could convey with you unarticulated, because I do not have that level of artfulness with language to be able to actually bring that through and put it in words and string it together in a way that makes sense to anybody at all. I do my best, but I'm only getting 10%. Anyways, I digress for the 15th time. So I just love talking about what psychic information is. I love explaining to you how your psychic abilities work. There are so many more beyond the clairs. I mean, I could talk about the clairs all day, every day, but there are so many more ways that to understand psychic information and the way it comes through to us beyond the clairs. My specialty is the chakras. I'm so good with chakras. Guys, I have seen things in our chakra bodies that, like, I see so many accessory chakras now and I understand what they do. It's really, really, really cool. Our whole physical mechanism, our physical and energetic mechanism is like our body is what I'm saying. Like our human apparatus is so, so advanced. It's so cool. The things we can do here. God, I wish I could just like, I do. I wish I could just transmit it to all of you, but I know that I can't, and that's not my right, but I wish I could give it to you because it's thrilling. It's amazing to be able to see what we actually do, what we're capable of doing. It's like, wow. Anyway, so I owned that even just like in the last, I don't know, 2 months probably, where I was like, really, that's my thing is our psychic abilities and the Akashic records, of course, because that's how my psychic abilities love to come through the most. But it's our psychic abilities in general and explaining them to you and connecting you with it so that you can embark on your own path. Like, the Akashic records aren't for everybody in the sense that, yes, everybody can read them, but some of you are really here to use different modalities is what I'm saying. So, and you know it inside of yourself. Like, it's not me saying who gets to use the Akashic records or who doesn't. I don't have any such right at all whatsoever. It's more just an acknowledgement that like, It's not enough for me to just teach how to access the Akashic Records. I feel really strongly that I also have to teach how to connect with our psychic abilities, because if you're not here to read the Akashic Records, that doesn't mean you're not psychic. It doesn't mean you're not here to do something with your psychic abilities, read something, connect with something, channel something, heal. Like, you know, there's so many different ways that it comes through. And I just want to connect you with that. I can't tell you the depth of the satisfaction that I feel in my life since I allowed myself to step onto this path is indescribable. Like, yeah, when I think about 5 years ago, and I started this podcast 5 years ago, I'm like, these were easily the best 5 years of my life. There were other amazing years and amazing high points in my life. But in terms of years, in terms of like a chapter of my life, by far, hands down, this is the best chapter, the best chapter. And really the reason for that is because I just like took the muffle off, took the shroud off of myself and the self that I actually am. I started the podcast. I stepped onto this path. I let it create itself under my feet as I walked. And I let myself be who I'm here to be and connect with all of you. I feel like the richest person in the world. Not financially. I'm nowhere near even possibly fathomably close. But I feel like the richest person in the world in the ways that really matter and really count right now in my life. And I feel like it's okay for me to soak this up right now, because I also know that life makes no promises other than that the wheel will turn. And not what goes up must come down in a pessimistic way. That's because that's not how it feels at all. But I know that there, like, life inevitably holds other dark passages for me, as it does for all of us. And there's no way of getting out of that. Like, one of the benefits to, or sorry, one of the downsides, I guess you could say, or just liabilities, whatever, to having so many people in your life that you love, which I do, I dearly love my family, the family that I have created with my partner and our children that we have together, as well as my amazing Francis, my oldest son, but also the family that I, like my family of origin. I love them so much. And one of the sort of liabilities is knowing that we're all going to die. And I don't know the order. And I don't want to know the order. I do not want to know. I do not want to know who is dying. And I do not want to know when, unless it is like because we get an advanced diagnosis. You know, like psychically, I don't go looking for that shit. I don't want to know. It's going to happen. And I know that it's going to happen. And it is going to bring me to my knees and shatter me. And I know that I will get through it. And, you know, that's life. And it's not even just people dying. It's just that is life. Is right now I'm in a high period, like where I'm just like, wow, 200 episodes, over 1 million plays, an amazing audience of fucking amazing people. And life brings its hard times too. Anyways, I really don't know how I got on that sort of like darker note, but it's always good to acknowledge the darkness. But I know I was talking about how much I love activating our psychic abilities and connecting us with the greater telepathic network, because it's happening. We are doing it right now. It's incremental. It's kind of like, have you ever seen that show Sense8? Like, it's called S-E-N-S-E, Sense8. And the 8 comes right after there. I don't think there's a space. And it was kind of a cool show. It was pretty good. I really liked the way that the telepathic connection, the telepathic link was depicted in the show. I feel like it's so nuanced. Like, it's so much subtler and more nuanced than that, but there were so many, it was also very, very well depicted. I was just remembering all of the like telepathic orgy scenes, and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure we can opt out of those if we want to. Fingers crossed. Anyways, but the telepathic network that we are creating, it feels a little similar to that. But like I said, much more subtle and much more nuanced, and we are creating it, and it's amazing, and I'm so excited. I'm so grateful that you're all with me. I'm so grateful for this podcast. And again, like, I created it, I started it, but this podcast is a co-creation between all of us. Like, you anchor it. You are the person I'm talking to. You are the person that is pulling the information through my channel. I couldn't do it without you. Like I said, I could record a bajillion episodes, but if you're not here to listen, then what is it? I don't know. So thank you for being here with me. If you would like to go deeper, I have, as always, 100,000 ways to work with me. I'm really trying to organize this better so that it's not as overwhelming. I don't know if you feel overwhelmed. I feel like you must feel overwhelmed because I always create so many things. But main thing that I want to tell you about right now is psychic activation and psychic school. Okay, so psychic activation. Well, obviously the Spirit Guides Masterclass. Can't forget that. Spirit Guides Masterclass happening March 27th. Yes, you can have the replay. I totally know that everybody can't show up in the middle of the day on freaking Wednesday to watch this live thing. I realize that, but you can have the replay if you buy a ticket and you get lifetime access. It is currently on for $44 on Monday, March 18th. The price goes up to $77, and which is still a total steal, because when I like resell it after it's recorded and processed and everything, like it's tied up with a pretty little bow, it will go on my website for $222. So you might as well get in now. Just do it. I also want to tell you about psychic activation and psychic school. Okay. So psychic activation has been my only course to teach you about your psychic abilities. It has been awesome. We just did a live round in November, December, and January, and it was super good. And I feel like one more live round needs to happen to really polish it off and make it like, make it so basically I feel satisfied that I have given you the codes that I am supposed to give you on the topic of psychic activation. So I ran it live 1, 2, 3. This was the third round. It's going to be the fourth round, and it's starting in May. So psychic activation already includes a whole bunch of modules from the first round, and then 7 chakra activations from the second round. All, I think it's like 7 modules plus 2 Q&As from this most recent round, and it's going to include all the new modules. Specifically, what I'm going to talk about in this round of psychic activation is the clairs. I like to reduce it to 5 clairs just to keep it a little on the simple side. But of course, like, I could talk about each of them for an eternity, which is why I'm going to do a whole entire round devoted specifically to the clairs and helping you identify which clair you have, identify the ways that it's working through you, what you can easily and naturally amplify right now, and how to grow the clairs that you don't already feel strongly connected to, so that you can put it to actual work, you know, so that you can use it to, like, I don't know. I mean, like, being psychic isn't about guessing the winning lottery number, whatever stupid things people often think being psychic is about. It's about helping people. It's about seeing things with greater clarity. It's about helping animals, helping the earth. Like, it's just tapping into more information so you can, yeah, serve better and more deeply. So my intention through the psychic activation course is to give you the basics to be able to do that. This is going to be the last live round that I ever do of psychic activation. Hereafter, it will only be sold as a self-paced course, and I'm going to feel very good about it because it's going to have everything in it that you need as the, like, the foundation, but also like a crazy deep dive, like university level information coming through to help you understand and develop your psychic abilities on your own. So that's the psychic activation course. I'm also at the same time opening up my first ever round of psychic school. So psychic school is different from the psychic activation course, but it includes the psychic activation course. Psychic school is a much deeper dive. It's for those of you that are like, you are serious, you are ready. I envision it as probably being for those of you who really want to start a business using your psychic gifts as a reader, as a healer, as a spiritual mentor or coach, as a channel, as an oracle, like all of the ways that you might, as a spiritual content creator, all of the ways that you would create something off of your spiritual and psychic gifts, right? So that's who I'm imagining psychic school is for. Of course, you don't have to be starting an explicit business. Like I do always attract quite a lot of people that are in the corporate world and they just can't answer why, but they feel guided to join me in something. And like, if that's you, just listen to that, because everybody who has just followed that, like I end up creating really beautiful relationships with them. There is something there. Just trust it and follow it. If you feel truly called to work with me and you're like, I don't even know why, trust it. But when I am creating psychic school, I'm imagining this beautiful deep dive where we're going to spend 4 months together, and it is going to be centered around practice calls. Because we got to practice our psychic abilities and we need a safe place to do it. I cut my teeth in sketchy ass psychic development Facebook groups. It was not a cool vibe. I had a crash course in like what can happen if you are not properly shielded. 10 out of 10, do not recommend. Like, don't do it. I guess it's 0 out of 10, isn't it? 0 out of 10, do not recommend. Do not do it that way. And yet I had to practice with people. I had to. That was the only way that to really actually cultivate my gifts. So I want to create this space where we can come together and practice. And we will practice through multiple different modalities or different techniques, I guess you could say. But also there's a whole like deep curriculum aspect to it too, because psychic school is going to include psychic activation, the course. So it's going to include all of the past modules that I was talking about previously, as well as the new modules about the clairs. It's also going to include Heartstar Creator, which is a journey through the 7 main chakras, as well as 5 additional chakra pairs and 12 DNA activations. It goes through the 7 main chakra clearings, like as meditations, and 7 main chakra activations as meditations. It's fucking insanely powerful. Insanely powerful, Heartstar Creator. Psychic School also includes Magic in the Dark, that course I was talking about for navigating a dark night of the soul. It is shadow alchemy, trauma transmutation, and navigating a dark night of the soul. And it includes the 2 masterclasses, understanding entities, and new age false light deception. So it's the whole shebang. Psychic school is like, well, you're going to university or college, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. You're going to a place of legitimate higher learning, and you are going to learn actually how to develop your psychic abilities. This is the school that I wanted in my 20s. This is what I wanted. This is it. I wanted to develop my psychic abilities. I wanted to be doing this with my time. I wanted to be learning these things, and this is what it is. So they're both starting together at the beginning of May. I realize this is probably confusing because they both have the term psychic in them. I may rename psychic activation. I'm not sure. But to be clear, psychic activation is the short journey. It's going to be 7 weeks. And psychic school is the long, deep dive journey. It's going to be 4 months. They're both happening at the same time. You don't have to sign up for both, because if you sign up for psychic school, you will automatically get psychic activation course. So those are both, plus the spirit guide, the spirit guides masterclass. Those are the three, like, just most vivid and alive ways to work with me right now. I cannot wait. Psychic school and psychic activation are on pre-sale. So that means that you're going to get the best price, the by far best price, the insanely, insanely discounted best price. Like, I mean, I am possibly not a smart business person for discounting it this way. And yet I know that some of you can't pay my regular prices, and I fucking love you. So I'm giving you a chance. So, like, take the chance. I love you. I can't wait to see you inside. Pay now, pay full price. I don't care. I just can't wait to see you. That's my sales pitch for the week. Yeah, and then I'm always going to plug those weekly energy reports that I do. It's my free service, my offering to you. It's because I love you, and I love to bring Akashic guidance through. I get such beautiful testimonials and feedback about this. I mean, they're not really testimonials because it's a free service, but I get the most beautiful feedback around it. I love doing it. If you do want to work with me and you can't afford it and you are not signed up to receive these, then I don't understand. Like, just because something is free doesn't mean it's chintzy. Like, I pour into it. I pour as much into it as I pour into the podcast every week. So it's like a second podcast, but it's literally describing the energy and channeling through the things that we are experiencing right now from the Akashic Records. So you can sign up for that too. The links for all of these are in the show notes. But apart from that, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. I hope that as John Frusciante has been a lighthouse for me, and really, 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 I feel like he saved me in the darkness. I don't know what would have become of me if he wasn't on my path. I don't know what I would have done, but I feel like the right way to explain it is that he saved me. And I hope that this podcast offers something like that for you. I hope that it connects with you and reminds you that you're not, even if you are an alien here, you're among friends. There are many of us. You are not alone. You can join Soul Space if you want. If you can do the Facebook thing. I do the Facebook thing literally simply just for Soul Space. Literally. So, yeah. Come join. Or listen to the podcast. Share it with other people that you know are similarly interested in these topics or going through an awakening. But yeah, that's what I hope. I hope I am. I hope that I can be like your John Frusciante. You don't have to love me as much as I love him, but I hope that the light that I am casting out is reaching you and helping you to stay the course. Okay, my friends. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. I love you more than my words can ever say. The currency of your attention is deeply honored and understood here. I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Hi, Amy. My name is Rihanna.
I just found your podcast a little less than 3 weeks ago. I don't remember searching for it. It just showed up. I've been seeking some community. I've been essentially awake since I was about 4. I'm currently 43, and I've had one spiritual awakening, ego death, about 10 years ago. And the doubt that was cast upon me from people that I loved really terrified me, made me doubt myself. And with recent happenings, this download that I had was, I was very incredibly present for it and lucid. And the last one, I think I was a little too naive. I was only 33. So to have you show up right after that happened was very validating. And I appreciate you bringing a community together so we can empower each other and continue on with our progress and our awakening. Thank you for being. Blessings.
I found Amy's podcast just a few days after a spontaneous awakening last year, and thank God I did, because just going into the internet around that time and trying to make sense of all of it was totally overwhelming, and Amy was just really grounded in her energy, and it was really nice to be able to have her to come back to as I tried to navigate all of the rest of it. And without knowing it, she really has guided me through this whole process and into the Akashic Records. Now, you know, learning how to create an Akashic Records business for myself. And I just really feel so lucky to have found her and to be part of her tribe. Hi, Amy. My name is Elizabeth, and I just wanted to record and give you my gratitude and thank you for the voice that you carry. I don't listen to many people, but I always come back to you. I'm very drawn to your voice. One thing you have helped me out with greatly is cord cutting, believe it or not. You've given such a detailed play-by-play on how to do it that I've been able to do it for myself and become free. Thank you so much.
Hey, Amy. MJ Maldonado here. Congratulations on 1 million plays. That's so awesome. Finding Third Eye Awakening in 2021 was such a blessing for me. You and your guests have made such a profound impact on my journey. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences, guidance, and wisdom, for being a total badass, and showing up always as your authentic self. You are so inspiring, and I can't wait to see what else you and Third Eye Awakening will share in the future. Thanks for being so incredible. Much love to you and all listeners.
Hello from Portland, Oregon. Amy, congratulations. 1 million freaking views. How cool is that? But I'm not surprised. Third Eye Awakening is truly an amazing podcast. You give it to us raw and unfiltered. These are the kinds of messages we all need in our lives. And I just want you to know I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Amy, when I first had my spiritual awakening, I searched for a podcast that I could resonate with. When I came to your podcast and heard your story, I was enthralled, and I had to listen, and I had to listen to more. I needed to understand what your listeners were going through, because many of them were going through the same thing as me, and I needed to understand your process. And that helped me to find my own way. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. Thank you for your podcast. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for helping people who are in a similar situation not feel alone. You rock.
I first found this podcast literally by a serendipitous, amazing circumstance where a friend sent me a link. And from the moment that I hit play on an arbitrary, just random, I picked one episode at random. From that moment until today, I cannot stop listening to each and every one. And I've started all the way back to when Amy Belair first started doing a podcast. Her story, her own personal awakening journey has been beyond inspirational, so congruent in many ways to my own, in many ways just totally different paths, but in either case very confirming of everything that I have felt my entire life, everything I'm experiencing as I walk forward into the future. It's been pivotal in breaking the habit of being the things that have not been working and pivoting and completely altering in a very expansive way my own psychology. Truly, there is nothing that I wouldn't do to hang out and be with this podcast and Amy Blair.
Amy, it's me, your girl Sapphire. Amy, you were literally the first person, the first voice I heard during my 2020 awakening. And girl, I've been riding with you ever since. I'm never letting go. I love you. And you're amazing. Girl, I'm like you. Look, I want to say so much, but this friggin' English language cannot put into words how full I feel when I just think about how just your vulnerability alone has served me. Just being who you are unapologetically. Keep it with all the bloopers, because this is who I am, and I love you for who you are. And the kids say hey, and we love the Third Eye Awakening podcast, and yeah, we love you.
Happy 1 million to my Amy. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy to be a part of this collective. And I think one of my favorite things about this podcast is you, Amy. You are a divine light channel oracle, beautifulest, delicious banana I have ever met, and I'm so proud and happy to know you, and I'm celebrating you so hard. Lots of love from Laz and Kevin Pugsley, my little pug son. Congratulations. 1 million, baby! I love you so much.
In a world filled with darkness, one thing shines forth as a beacon of light. Amy Belair's The Third Eye Awakening Podcast, which has now reached the stupendous milestone of over 1 million views. Amy, words can't express how much you mean to us. You have earned our total love, respect, and admiration. You remind us that as children of the Creator, we ourselves are gods in training, our only limitations being those which we impose upon ourselves. When I first signed up for your podcast, you only had about 32 subscribers, and I remember thinking, she has a great message. She should have more subscribers. Apparently, a lot of other people agreed, and your words have now resonated with and touched the lives of so many. Now with over 1 million views, why am I not surprised?
Well, that's a wrap. I truly hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got some good activations, insights, and inspiration from what was shared today. I want to give a shout out to May, who edits all of these podcast episodes. And I want to thank you, beautiful listener, for the valuable currency of your time and attention. You are a powerful creator, and may everything in this podcast serve you in your highest fucking creations. Your listenership means the world to me, truly. I cannot possibly express my appreciation enough for you and your being here with me on this journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share. And have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. I will catch you on the next episode.